Hello, and welcome to How Do You Deal With, a podcast hosted by me, Joelle Riding. After 3 years of running my own business, doing the work, and taking aligned action, I have created this podcast to help you create the life of your dreams and become a leader in your space. Each week, I'll be bringing you nuggets of wisdom, new and exciting resources you should know about to make your life easier, and guest experts committed to making you feel less alone in this crazy world. I am here because I believe you are worthy of all the love, joy, excitement, and connection this world has to offer. Not just during the good times, not just during the bad. I truly believe that we can have it all, and when the going gets tough, I'm here to lift you up and surround you with high vibes and great people. Come along as I ask the question, how do you deal with it? Thank you for tuning in. I am so excited you're here. Let's get going. What's up, guys? Oh my gosh, it has been so long. It is so nice to be back with another season of How Do You Deal With? I am honored if you are here today. Thank you so much for listening. I had so many of you guys send me messages over the last few months just being like, when's the podcast coming back? And every time you guys message me, my heart just burst. I appreciate you guys. I love the community we have on here more than anything in the world. And seriously, your support means the world to me. So thank you so much. And thank you for tuning in to our new episode. In the last few months, I moved from Portland, Oregon to Austin, Texas. I moved to Austin back in February and have been absolutely loving it. And it finally feels good and it felt right to get this podcast started again. So today I have an absolutely incredible guest, Alex Street. He is a storytelling coach. He helps entrepreneurs and coaches learn how to tell their story in a way that connects with their audience, in a way that resonates, in a way that makes sense, because his belief is there are no boring stories and we all have a story that needs to be shared and can impact others. So I am so excited for our conversation. We literally deep dive right into it. He is just absolutely incredible. I loved getting to learn more about him because I've gotten to talk with him through our mastermind. But yeah, got to learn some new things. You'll get to hear some more of my story. And he then offers tips and tricks on how to be a better storyteller. So excited for you guys to be here. Thank you so much for tuning in. And let's get going, shall we? What is up, guys? Welcome back. So I have the infamous Alex Street with me today, who literally, Alex, I'm so excited you're here because not only are you just like an amazing individual, such a cool storyteller, such a cool human, but like every single person I know is like, you got to talk to this guy. You need this guy in your life. He is the dude. Your like reputation precedes you. So I'm so excited to finally like get to talk to you, do some deep diving and share your story because that's literally what you do. So hi, Alex, how's it going?
Yeah, that is fantastic. It is going great. It is such a pleasure to be here, Joelle. I am just excited for where our conversation will go because any conversation we've had in the past have been just back and forth banter like old friends. So hopefully we can take it there today and the listeners can feel like they're part of the conversation as well. I'm excited for this.
Yes. Isn't it incredible, like the age of science and internet just like connection, especially with the last year of COVID, like mm-hmm. you have to connect and meet people so quickly. Like it's incredible to me that like we're in this group together. So for those who don't know, yeah. I rejoined Fast Foundations. I was in it last year, if you guys remember. But Alex and I are in this next round together. And essentially, you're put in this group with 100 individuals. And right now, it's all online because COVID. And you are like, you got to go. Like, you got to like kind of make yourself seen. You got to find your people. And
that's it.
Yeah. Alex was one of those people who was like, holy shit, dude. Like, you and me, we got to connect. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think part of that is some of us are afraid. Okay. Like, let me take you a bit on my journey through that because this is now my third round of being in this mastermind. In the first round, I showed up and I've always been the person who I feel like I run the room. I go in the room and I feel like I can own this space if I wanted to. That's just that my mom did that. And I mean, we'll get more into this story as we go, but I hope to carry that same quality in a way that just inspires people in some way. But then I remember walking into the room, the first round I did was live. they did live meetings, and I walked into the room and I felt so freaking childish. I walked in that room and felt so small. I felt like everybody else was perfect and I was certainly not. They all had something together and I was so broken apart. Like, I was so confused why I was in that space. So now we're like, what, almost 18 months later, for me to show up in this space and say basically like, here I am. Again, just to be seen, is it's actually part of my growth. It is part of my transformation. It is part of my story and the ongoing transformation that I'm making, where I'm just showing up and I'm not trying. I'm just showing up confidently. And here we are. Like, that's the journey. So a lot of us, we go in and we're like, I feel like I don't belong in that space. So we turn around and walk out. But I wonder what's possible if you stay in that space that you feel like you don't belong. And if you learn and you listen and you go through that tough growth, I just wonder what's possible on the other side. And that's, I only say that because that's what I'm experiencing myself. So, yeah.
Damn. I didn't know that this was your third round. That's incredible. We must have missed each other. Like, you must have done the round before I did. But tell me, like, okay, so let's backtrack a little bit, because I do want to hear how you were, like, in this first round and why you joined and how you felt, because I had the same exact feeling of, like, what the fuck am I doing here? All these people have their shit together. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I am just going to, like, be a fly on the wall. So let's backtrack a little. I would love to hear. I know that you were a pastor, a youth pastor, right? For, like, so many years. So you've been kind of used to speaking. But, tell me about, like, where you originated. I know you're in Canada. So, like, yeah, give us a little bit of info about you.
Yeah. Let's go back, because I am such a product of my parents. And my parents were two wonderful British people. My dad was incredibly inappropriate. And yet wildly charming.
Same.
I mean, to the point. British too?
Or yeah, just British,
like,
too.
Oh, come on.
It's the accent. It gets people every time.
It is. You can get away with anything. And I mean, so I was brought up on Monty Python, and, like, we would watch, like, you know, we'd watch all the Britcoms as a kid. So that was where I learned everything. And I think I learned the actual, like, practice of storytelling from my dad and how he would dive into that and tell stories. But I learned kind of the art of storytelling, I think, through my mom, who was an actress. So my dad was a photographer. My mom was an actress, and they both moved over here from England at 18 and 20, respectively, and to like live their dreams over here.
Were they together and moved here, or like they met here?
They met here.
Aww,
yeah.
Love that.
So it was like, I mean, I watched La La Land. I'm like, oh man, that's it. Like they're pursuing their own craft and then fall in love. And eventually it ended, like they got divorced and my mom got remarried to this amazing guy who's an actor, and they sort of formed their own path together. So for me, there was just this storytelling, like, in my blood, and this passion for performing and for even, again, owning the room. That's who my dad was, a photographer. So he's in the room and he's got these incredible people in front of him. He did a lot of dance photography. So now he's, like, trying to organize and not control, but direct these dancers in the studio so that he can snap the photo at the right time. Like, of course he's got it. Yes, his personality was bigger than anybody else in the room. It had to be. And then my mom was a bit different, where she walked into a room and heads would turn.
The quiet confidence.
It might have been her, like, fascinator, like her giant hat that she was always wearing. I'm not sure. But yes, there was a quiet confidence. And then when she spoke, was a controlled confidence, like, just so, she just demanded attention. So for me, there's no doubt that's where it really does come back to that. And I think it's a reason that I'm so fascinated by hearing people's stories and, like, their parents. And you're always a product of them in some way, for better or worse. And that's where my kind of journey as a performer, specifically now as a coach, a speaker coach and a story coach, that's what it's just zoned down to. But the why is because from a kid, I saw that stories change people. You know? Yeah.
And what I love about that and like my takeaway from that is it sounds like from an early age, you learned how to listen. And I think that is as equally important as a storyteller to also be a very good listener. And so I think that, yeah, you grew up with the skill of listening to your parents tell these stories and you're listening and you're watching and you're learning. And yeah, for me, like it's a double-edged coin. Like you have to be a good listener to be a good storyteller. And so what an amazing like example and just such a fun, it sounds like it was probably such a fun childhood of like,
yeah, it was. I mean, again, like my parents got divorced at 9. My dad was an alcoholic. Like it's not all sunshine and rainbows, but I'm an Enneagram 7. And for those that are familiar, that means that my pain point or like my shadow side is I run from pain. And I cover it over with a smile, you know, like I'm so afraid of going into the depths of that. And I think that's what happened was because they got divorced and I was 8, 9 years old. And what did I do? I turned to video games and making movies with my brother and playing with action figures. I would find anything I could to go and create kind of my own adventure, you know, that I could always go to.
Yeah. Enneagram 7, like the biggest fear is I am empty.
Mm-hmm. I just felt that.
Just dropped that little bomb on you real quick. Damn, that's tough though. Yeah, to be like a kid and then not only like a kid, but a male, like where, you know, feelings aren't necessarily as encouraged or talked about and to experience, yeah, such like a shift so young, like that definitely must have
But been that's hard. Interesting actually because I was a mama's boy. So feelings, emotions, we did not run from. I remember seeing my dad cry. Like there was like, it wasn't a macho man kind of household by any means. Like my mom gave me dolls for Christmas, for goodness sake. Like it just happened. And I think she just wanted a girl. And so she, which she actually later, I say that because she did actually admit that later. That just came up for me.
I
was supposed to be
could.
Rebecca.
Damn. Okay.
There we go. But there was just this confusion. You know, I've done some inner child work and to talk to 8-year-old Alexander and say, I know you're confused right now. Like it's going to be okay. And you don't need to worry. And so that actually, I mean, let's get into this, Joelle. That speaks to my inner critic and my big fear of building my own business, which a lot of people I think can attest to and appreciate, is that there's this fear that if I build this thing, it's going to crumble. Mm. And that's actually because that's what I watched my dad do, build this incredibly successful photography career, be like world renowned. And then what? Hit the bottle, got sad, got depressed, went bankrupt, lost everything. So like there's this fear that I'm going to build something and find success, but it's not going to be strong enough or I'm going to be the one who crumbles it. Whew. So talk about like the fear of being empty, the fear of it's not built on something strong. That's in there.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking to the choir, literally like... Mm. It's the scary part about entrepreneurship because entrepreneurship, in my opinion, requires a level of vulnerability. Like mm-hmm. one of my favorite like quotes is your business can only grow as much as you do. So like as much like healing and as much like that you're willing to face your shit and like face your demons and heal these parts of you so that your business can grow, because otherwise, yeah, like you said, you have, you know, subconsciously you have this belief in you of like, oh, what if I build this big thing and then I'm the reason it crumbles or it gets taken away from me or like I didn't work as hard and you live with this regret. And then like you almost self-sabotage because it's like if you're not careful, that can be a self-fulfilling prophecy quickly. Yep. But I'm grateful it sounds like you have been doing some healing and some work, and you've got a good grasp on it. Like, I know it's probably always there. It is for me, but.
Well, that's it. Yeah. It's just the voice that lives on my shoulder, right? And it says that nobody's listening. That's the key for me. And it just said, so it's the fear, as you say. I actually have this picture here. I'm going to show you, but it's a picture of my dad took this. And this is a massive printout that I have here, but it's an actor on a stage, and you can tell he's like giving everything he's got to this performance. It's from behind the actor looking out to the theater, and there's not a soul in the seats. There's nobody sitting in the seats. And so I have this photo because I love it. I don't even know who it is, but he took it for some book that he wrote. And I have this here because that is my inner critic. This image of looking out, stepping on stage, and nobody is in the seats. Mm. So the question is, do I still perform? Do I still go through this? Or do I turn on and walk away? And that fear, right? It says, Alex, you're going to build this thing and nobody's even going to be in the auditorium. Nobody's going to buy a freaking ticket. Are you kidding me? Nobody's going to show up. Mm-hmm. So with that risk, and this is what you said, is like, should I just cut and run because you self-sabotage? So that voice, that hearing that, okay, but so I'm going to work towards this and then nobody's going to show up. I might as well just not even start. Mm. And then it becomes, of course, like I just fulfilled that prophecy. Nobody's showing up because I'm not even making it a thing and giving them the option of showing up.
Hence,
and that's the battle that I'm facing. Always. Yeah.
Hence, absolutely. Same. Like, the why of what you're doing.
Yeah.
You have to fucking know that deep in your bones, because otherwise, yeah, it is so easy to turn and run. It is the easiest thing because no one will care. You're the only one that, like, cares enough about your dream to go after it. Everyone else would be like, oh, you tried. I understand. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. You did it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, knowing your why is the only thing that sometimes gets you out of bed sometimes. Like, shit. Like, yeah. And that's kind of what you help people with. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like,
well, now you know why.
Yeah.
And that's the thing,
that's
right? So, yeah. Yeah. So, and I think that's the biggest value that we have, is we look at our own experience and our own story, and the more that you would get to understand it, the more fit you are to show up and say, this is what I can help you with. Mm-hmm. That I am uniquely fit and a unique authority to help you discover your why, because A, the story aspect of this, you can't tell a good story if you don't know where it's going and you don't know what the point is. So there's that in me, but then also the work that I've done to discover the value of that, of I better be motivated by why, because I can't control the how and I can't control the outcome. Mm-hmm. And if I care so much about that my dream lives or dies on it, I'm going to be, I should just crawl into a corner right now and quit. Because it's not going to happen the way I want it to. Again, for better or worse.
Yeah. Man.
I should tell you, my stepdad, Paul, he's a phenomenal actor as well. And he's such an inspiration to me. He performed a one-man show. It was called Barrymore. And he put this effort into it. And obviously there's a ton of, it's you're on stage alone for an hour and 15 minutes. If you forget a line, there's nobody there to fill it in, you know? And you're doing a script and putting on characters. And this specific play was a character putting on different characters. So he had to like be able to act like Barrymore and then act like King Lear and then act like any other characters that this guy had played. Just a piece of work. And then he put it on and rented out the theater for 2 weeks. And I mean, when I went, there was six people in the audience. I was one of six. And there was a night that there was four people. There was a night that there was 12. Like, you know, you have this dream and then it it does, it basically is this image. And so I've talked to him and he's like, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if nobody showed up. I asked him straight up. I was like, okay, what if one day nobody showed up? He's like, I'm going to perform. If nothing else, it's a rehearsal, but I'm showing up. This is what's fabulous. He said to me, I show up every night knowing I'm going to perform. Whoever's in the audience is not my choice, or however many people there are. But he went forward with such a clear intention. I'm going to perform my heart out. You do what you want with it. And like, imagine we showed up like that, Joelle. Imagine every day you were just like, I know what I'm going to do.
This literally is like my throat is like closing up because I'm trying not to cry right now. Like, holy fuck. I am literally trying my hardest not to cry because that basically sums up what my journey at least has felt like. Of like,
yeah.
I've had so many launches that no one bought. I had so many like posts that got like 3 likes, 4 likes. Like I hosted things that no one showed up. One person showed up. And it's nice that now, 2.5 years in, I'm starting to feel like I am getting seen and I am starting to get noticed. But like,
2.5 years.
Two and a half years of like rejection and feeling like a loser and feeling like am I ever gonna like blow up? Is this just a pipe dream? Is this a dream that like I just can't do it? I'm not capable.
So what shifted?
Me. Like, it's so funny that everyone talks about like when you're in alignment, everything flows and it doesn't feel like work. And if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. And I always was like, yeah, whatever. Okay. Yeah. Like work is work. I'm going to show up, clock in, do my thing. Eventually, hopefully it makes me money. But now like I am in such alignment of who I am, so confident, so happy that it does feel like I don't work. It does feel like when I hop on a sales call, it feels like I'm just getting to meet this incredible individual with a story who wants to like impact the world. And it feels like I'm just meeting up with a friend. Like, oh, I can help you with that. Here's how much it'll cost. Like vice versa. I'll spread you to like my friends. You can send me like friends. And people come out of the woodwork. They really do of like, oh my God, something about you. I want to work with you. I love like the vibe you give, the energy you give. Like, and I think that there is showing up, and I think that you can't have one without the other. I think that you need to show up consistently or need to show up in your business because that's just part of growing a business. Like you are the face of your brand. You are the business. Like you do need to show up to the extent that you can.
Yeah.
But once you do start showing up, because in the beginning, it's so hard. It's so hard, in my opinion, to show up. Like I have some people like message me being like, Joel, how do I confidently show up on camera? How do I confidently show up on video? How do I like smile or like be happy in photos? Like, I don't know how you do it. And it's like, bruh, I've been doing this for 7 years now. 7 years of showing up on social media. My first videos, when I look back, I'm like, oh my God, like I was so shy and quiet in this little mouse. And the more you show up, the more comfortable you get. And the more like you just decide who you want to be and you find the people who love you and who accept you and want to see you succeed. And like, I don't even care anymore what people might say about me negatively or what my people think when they see my posts. Like, ugh, who does she think she is? Like, I'm sure there are people out there that think that. But I don't even care about those people anymore because I'm so in alignment and happy. And like getting to like serve people, that's like, all right, like you're not my people and that's fine. But like, I'm going to keep doing my thing over here. And it's starting to finally feel like it's clicking. And I wish it for everyone. And I'm sure you're feeling that way too right now. Hopefully, because that's how I feel when I see you.
It's all up front. No, I'm broken. Yes. And as I say, I still get tripped up this journey through fear is not, it's not, there's no end game to this. There's no end point. It's, Simon Sinek talks about the infinite game, that there's finite games where there's a loser and a winner. And that's what I think a lot of us think that we're playing, that if I'm going to succeed, somebody else needs to lose. If I'm going to win at this, then somebody else needs to be knocked down a peg. If I'm going to get that this, if I'm going to make this much money, somebody else is making less, right? And he talks about the infinite game, which is actually that it's this game that we're all a part of. There are no winners and losers. There is no other team. There's simply ahead and behind. And all along the way, you can shift. You can be further ahead or further behind, but there's no score being kept. And so in the infinite game, we actually all work together. We're playing. This is brilliant. If you haven't read this, you got to read it or listen to it or just tune into his podcast. He's phenomenal. And he just says, you know, if in the infinite game, we're playing for the sake of the game to keep going. And so that's how we're showing up now, right? Is showing up for the sake of, if I can help you, you know, or our conversation that we had, if I can help you understand your story better, I win. Not because you pay me, not because, oh, great, now I can go on vacation or buy a new car, anything like that's not winning. The winning is you go out and you get to help your clients better. And then they're going to tell their story better, which is going to spread out. And it actually impacts my entire belief about how the world works, which is your story matters and could change the world. So if I do this, if I do my part, the whole party's better. If I bring my meal to the potluck, the whole party's better. You know what I mean?
Mm. I love the idea of behind and ahead. Like, mm-hmm. And it's constantly shifting. And also, in your own life, there is no behind and ahead. Like, there's just your story. And there's your trajectory. And you're going exactly at the pace that you need to. And you will arrive exactly, precisely on time when you're supposed to, is my belief. But what's incredible is, like we've been talking about in this whole podcast, the person that you admire, the person who is on the stage, killing it, doing the thing, they've probably been at it 4 years. Like, my favorite people right now are, like, Glow Graphics. She's this, like, amazing, like, travel blogger who I've known since my travel blogging days, but she's been at it for, like, 9 years. She just got on a stage with, like, Tony Robbins and Chris and Lori and, like, that huge event that they just had. Like, she was on that stage. And, yeah, people, like, you know, look at the after photo and you forget, like, Glow, I'm sure she had 9 years of setbacks and failures and rejections. And it's all about just keep going. Just keep going and, yeah.
Just keep swimming.
Just keep swimming.
But I think, like, that's part of it, right? Is like, oh, great. Just keep going. All right. Thanks for the motivational tile. Beautiful. So I agree. I think we all, like, yeah, we agree. We see that. And what I'm seeing is when you forget, you're like, yes, I need to keep going because this is a story being written. You're like, this is beautiful, right? There's something happening here. And when you start to believe that, you start to see that, you're like, yeah, I'm part of something that's constantly being formed. As I go forward, it's being written as I'm in it. And when you forget, when you get hung up and you think for some reason that this has already been written, or you're just a part in somebody else's story, or you get hung up on where they're at, or right, you think that it's a finite game in some way, that's where I say, no, okay, let's just breathe this, just bring it down a little bit and remind yourself of your journey. So yeah, when you look at anybody else out there that's successful and whatever, I would say at any point, the thing that sets them apart is an awareness of how far they've come so far.
Yep.
Because if you believe that, if I believe that I'm awesome, if I believe my story is already captivating, my story is already cool, that there's already been a transformation, then, like, what else am I working towards? I'm just helping now get that out there and help other people. But there's no, like, yearning, there's no striving, like, I haven't already changed.
Yep.
And the more that I can believe that and see that, have empathy for my own journey, that's what allows me now to go forward and be like, what's up, Joelle? This is who I am. Take it or leave it.
Yes. And on that note, I want to dive into like what you do, man. Because like, first we can talk about like the story arc and like the, you know, the thing. Mm-hmm. But like I, you know, for people who might not know you or might not know like what a storytelling coach is, like break down how you help people find your story. Because, oh my God, guys, literally the other day, I hopped on a call with Alex, first time meeting, like we dove into like, it was supposed to be like a 30 minute call. It was like an hour and a bit. And he literally, wow, I have struggled so long with like trying to figure out my story and like just having it in a way that resonates with people. And he was able to like zoom out, see like what my story was, help me put it in a way that like connects with like my people in a way that is like short and poignant and not just like all over the place like I feel like I have been. So yeah, tell us about what you do and like how people can be better storytellers, honestly.
Yeah, I would love it. I think that there's, I mean, I believe that there's no boring stories. There's boring storytellers, but there is no boring story. And so I'm helping people not only become better storytellers, like, but that's really kind of the end result is like, okay, now let's show up. And this is how you can now show up. And a lot of people think I'm not a good storyteller, so they just stop there. Well, what if we found just how fascinating your story was and then allowed that to feed what you show up with to make you an inherently captivating storyteller because you've already got this captivating story to tell. So that's the belief that I'm coming in with. And simply turning that into how do I get that in front of people? How do I help people now become better storytellers and find their signature story? So that looks like a lot of things around public speaking and performance and dealing with the fear of showing up. And there's different ways that we go into all of that. But specifically, the main work is let's look at your story. And to do that, there's this really fun, like kind of magical. I am like, I'm looking for the magic in this life. The and magic. I'm telling you, I'm looking for the dope magic in this life. And I'm in a meeting when I start asking somebody, it starts with, what do you do? So what do you do now? Tell me now what you're doing. What's your main work that you're bringing to the world? And you know, somebody out there is listening and they're like, I'm a website designer. Great. They're listening to the right podcast. So this is what you do. Great. What impact do you want that to have? Now we're going to get into, we're starting to get into the, like that question leads to a bit of the why. Why does this matter for you? So, I mean, do you want to dive into that, Joelle? Like why, what impact do you make with your work?
Yeah, like I will offer myself as tribute. Let's do it. So I'm a website designer for entrepreneurs and coaches. And the reason that I do it is because I am.
How does your work impact the person that you work with? So somebody comes to you and says, help me with my website. You're like, great, I can do that. When they're done working with you, how does that change them and the people around them?
Yes. So I literally love to work with people because I leave the impact of feeling empowered and feeling like that you can show up more authentically. So if you show up more authentically, if you're empowered, that is automatically going to lead to more revenue, more clients, more sales, like whatever you're looking to do. That's why I love working with like coaches or entrepreneurs because like they are doing such important work. And if like I can make your shit look better so that you attract even more people and impact even more people, then like my job is done. Like I'm here to support you and help you grow to that next level that like you're a little scared to be, or you're not sure, or like you're not ready to step into, but like that's who you are already. You just need somebody to visually help you create that space online.
Yeah. So, right. So you said a bunch of stuff there and it's fantastic. And I just, because I'm teaching here how to find the story in this, I want to just let you into the secret here of what I'm looking for and what I heard. I heard a lot of stuff and it's fine. It's great about design and helping somebody show up with their business. And there was a key word that you said was to empower them and to help them be seen as they truly are. Like there's that these things that are coming out, like what you're doing now is actually, so there's the impact is somebody works with you and then they feel like they are actually enough. Like there's something about, wow, you're going to hear my vision for my site and you're going to put it out there. And now I'm going to have this great, this dope site that is actually a reflection, an amplification of what's inside me, of my voice. So now what happens? Now you've got people out there who feel like they've been seen. And what are they going to do? They're going to help other people be seen. They're going to actually show up and not hide, which we talked about earlier, right? So now when I'm like, what do you do? I'm a website designer. What impact, empowerment, all this stuff. And what I heard was something about being seen and something about empowerment. Is that fair to say?
Yes. And now I remember our coaching call and I remember what's the next step, but go ahead.
I know. So we don't have to go all the way into this unless, I mean, whatever, but just to see, then that's where I go, okay, that's like the thing that you believe about this world. There's something there about like, this is why I'm doing this. This is what's driving me forward now. And I go, where does that begin? Like, where does this idea of people should be seen begin? Where does this idea of empower people should their voice should be heard begin? And usually that's where I would say it's kind of one or the other. It's either you had a really good experience around that in childhood or a really tough one. So, you know, for a lot of people, it's like, I was really disconnected. I didn't belong somewhere. Or it was, no, I belonged everywhere and I was a leader of the pack. And that's why they're building communities now, because either really needed it or it wasn't there. Do you know what I mean? So you go back in your story, you talk about standing out, being seen, having your voice be heard. And I mean, I'll just generalize it. From what I remember, there was this general sense of like, I felt kind of contained growing up, right?
I help others feel seen because I never felt like I could be my full self growing up.
Mm-hmm. So that's the connection. So then you go back, you see that, and then we talk about, okay, so you never felt like you could be yourself. Then something happened. So this is me going through life. I don't feel like I can be myself. Then something happens to shift that from that story to, oh my goodness, this is what happens when I am seen. Or somebody says to you, like, Why aren't you speaking up more? Or something, what was that? There was a moment, wasn't there? There was a conversation, there was a coach, or there was somebody that said to
what
you.
What was it?
I mean, this is where typically, right? We'd go through the journey and we'd pull out right. The whole story. And then I would just go like, that sounds like a significant moment.
I had an art teacher. I had an art teacher right? That always right. Gave me space to feel myself and to... feel heard and feel seen, and huge, huge impact on my life. And then I had a mentor that I applied to be like her assistant, and she was like, oh no, honey, like you are so much more than an assistant. And like, I'm going to like help you step into that. And so she was, kind of like the first person to see something in me that I hadn't seen yet. Definitely two people that impacted my life and continue to. Yeah, because having somebody like see you and tell you you're great and tell you that you're enough and that you're lovable and that you're like the fucking bee's knees. Oof. Everyone needs that. Everyone should have that. And that is a huge core value in my business of like when we hop on a call, I'm going to make sure that you feel like you are the biggest person in the planet. You're the most important. Your business idea is absolutely incredible because it is, but yeah. maybe you haven't had anyone do that yet. So I love when I get to step in and then have that moment of like, oh, honey, I'm going to hype you up. Let's go.
And that's the key. So now your story is from this to this, from not letting your full self, what did you say? Not showing up.
Not feeling like I could be my full self.
Yourself. Not being yourself to being fully seen. Like there's a transformation there. And that's phenomenal. That's an entire life transformation that, let's draw this back to the beginning of the story, is still the struggle. Or at the beginning of our conversation, is still the struggle. It's like, sometimes I feel like I'm supposed to be something else. I'm supposed to be this. I'm not, I don't know how, if I'm myself, will people really show up? Will people buy from me? Right? So there's this constant struggle that you're still dealing with. And what happens is when you're at your best, you're being fully seen. Yeah. So this is your story. So of course, you now build a business to help people who feel like maybe they're just trying to fit into the mold. They're just trying to be like everybody else. They want a website that works like this person and this person and this person because they're successful. And you're like, yeah, but do you see how awesome this is about you? Do you see this? Do you hear this? When you say this, I hear this, and that's pretty awesome. And that's totally different. So of course you're going to build a business to help people go from here to here because it was a person who came in along in your story and said, Joelle, you're selling yourself short. Mm. You don't need this role that I just created for you. You're not going to fit in that box. I'm going to help you make your own box.
Oh my gosh. I took so many notes and I'm yet again having so many breakthroughs. Like, absolutely incredible. I could talk to you all day, Alex. It's ridiculous. Oh, you're so good. Yeah.
I love it, right? I mean, for me, I think the main value, if anybody's really looking for like, where is their story? Sometimes they get stuck because they can't figure out a sentence or something like that. Or they're like, yeah, no, I've looked in the past before. And the only difference is I show up endlessly curious about, what did that mean? Wait, okay, what happened there? All right, what were you like? All right, did you play on a sports team? What was that team? What sports? What did that? You just keep asking until you find gold, until you find connections. And so when you're doing this work on your own, just be curious about your own life, and then you'll grow that, you'll develop that empathy, and then you'll develop that power, and there we are.
Yes. 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 So, to break it down in a pretty little bow, mm-hmm. what are the three things? So this is
So think about just story structure as a three act play. Your story, there's a lot of different storytelling coaches out there, and they're going to tell you all kinds of different things with 7 parts and 8 parts here and 5 here, and it's all fine and everything. I'm just such a sucker for simplification. So any story you're telling, you want to be an immediate better storyteller? Think in three acts. Who was I? What happened? Who am I? Mm-hmm. And if you can tell your story, you can tell the story of you going to McDonald's in three acts. I was hungry and there was no food in my house because I had a party the night before and my stupid friends ate all my food. So I'm like, fine, I'm going to go out. And I only had 15 minutes. So I went to McDonald's. It was terrible. I knew it would be terrible, but I went anyways. The drive-through, so now we're into the what happened. The drive-through was so long, I was going to be late for my next meeting. But once you're in the drive-through, you can't get out of it because you're trapped. So now I'm there for 35 minutes while they're making my burger that tastes like styrofoam. And then I get it home. And on the way home, I tried to cram it in my mouth and I spilled ketchup on myself. So now here I am showing up for my meeting with ketchup on my shirt.
Boom. Boom.
But I'm just telling a random story that I just made up on the spot, but I could make it up on the spot easily because I'm thinking, who was I? What happened? McDonald's, drive through, ketchup to make me who I am. There's why I'm showing up now. So three act structure is everything. And specifically, even when you're thinking about your own life, we can talk about what those three acts are.
Yes, and I find this absolutely intriguing now that we're talking about it, because I was under the assumption that, like, your story is you have one story and mm-hmm. you use this story to connect with people.
Yeah,
but what I'm surmising, and even talking to you in this podcast versus when we talked last time, is you can have a completely different story for different audiences, right?
You could. For simplicity, I would say there is a big theme. There is a signature story that you have experienced. And again, coming back to probably your inner critic, the voice that keeps showing up, the thing my voice keeps saying, you don't know what you're talking about. They're not going to listen. So you better adapt and say what they want to hear, or nobody's going to show up. To now, no, I'm just going to show up. I'm going to speak authentically and they're going to show up. That's my consistent journey, because my story is from confused to confident. So I have this big story. And I would say, even if I was telling that McDonald's story, here's the key. If I was telling that story about being hungry, I would somehow make that, look, I felt like I have no food here. What do I do? And should I just show up for the meeting because they're going to be angry at me? If I don't, I don't know. That's just appeasing to them. That's showing up. Maybe I should, I don't know. But again, this is a terrible example, but I would play that out and then say, now here I am showing up with ketchup on my shirt because I don't care. At least I'm here. Deal with it, essentially. So there's this big story that actually shows up in all the little episodes that we experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah. There's the big story. And then when you do tell a story, a good storyteller has the three part, no matter what story you're telling. However, like you said, yeah, there is this signature overarching like theme that shows up of why you are who you are and how you got to where you are.
Yeah. And as I said, right. So there's storytelling and there's really learning your signature story. So once you understand the signature story, like your main thing, then you can talk about any moment in your life and make it connect with that big theme.
Magic.
Do you know what's your favorite show?
What's your favorite TV show? Family Guy.
Okay. Shoot.
Has no arc to it.
That's it. You got me. That's it. Frozen. Okay. Series arc of Family Guy. It really is about a family. I mean, it's ridiculous, but it is about how does this family get closer, and how does a family survive all the crazy things in this world? Let's call that the story arc disconnected or dysfunctional to functional. Maybe that's it. I don't know what you talked to Seth, what's his face, and see what the actual arc was that he was imagining. But if that's the entire series arc, how many seasons do they have now?
20.
A lot. Goodness. So every season has its own arc to move the characters from here to here. Maybe this one, right, you're right, it's not too big, but this is the one where, oh, Cleveland's not in the show anymore. Why not? What's the journey there? What happens? He's going to show up every now and then, and he's going to explain why he's moving away or something. I don't know. And that's the season arc. But then each episode, of course, it does have its own arc where you're going to see, oh, Peter's got to get a new job. That's now the arc of this episode. But you can tell that episode because it's part of a bigger theme, which is the season, which is a part of the bigger theme, which is the series. And it all is about Peter needs a new job, but he's dysfunctional at getting out and doesn't want to ask for help, and then Meg helps him, and look at that, he realizes he didn't want the job, but the family worked together. They're now functional.
Who knew that you could so eloquently describe Family Guy? I'm so impressed with you right now. You're really flexing. You're like, I'm a storytelling coach. Let me show you how good I am. I can make a story out of Family Guy.
I'm sure it's in there somewhere. Yeah. My favorite is like, I'll ask that question to people and they tell me a show that I'm like, oh, I don't actually know. I don't know what that is. I don't know what the show is or like, yeah.
Give me another one.
No, there's a better
show. Give me another one.
Yeah.
Oh, Alex.
But that's so do you see how that again, thinking about telling your big story, like just to summarize that, yes, you can tell multiple stories. You can have multiple stories. I think even when people feel like they have two different avatars or audiences that they're speaking to, I think there's actually, it still goes back to, that's just talking about the how. But when we get back to your why, the why is pretty stationary and extremely foundational. And that why is that's also you can connect that to different hows. So
yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
How you show up, whatever your audience is, you can always tell it through one main story.
And it's say, the emotion. It's the emotion of it's the emotional evoking piece. And people don't buy products; they buy stories. They buy,
you bet,
like emotion. So if you know you can have this epic story, but if you're not able to have that little emotional component, that little transformation that like people can connect with or see you with or feel like they know you better, then yeah, I mean, you could probably make sales, but true, like, I feel like next level shit is, yeah, when you have that emotional piece and you understand and you can connect with people deeper than if you were just selling a product and have no story behind it.
Stories over services. Every time.
Every time.
Talk about your story over your services.
Ugh. Well, speaking of services, Alex, if people want to connect with you and learn more about you, because you're always dropping so much just amazing Instagram knowledge and just so much good stuff. I love following you. I learn stuff every single day. So if people want to find you, work with you, all the things, how can people find you? And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hang out on Instagram. That's my space. So talking to DMs or anything in there, come and find me. I do. Yes. So my Instagram is at Street Says, and then just starting a podcast again. I mean, I've done podcasts in the past, but this is a brand new one. And it's called No Boring Stories, because I really believe, as I said at the beginning, there's no boring stories, just boring storytellers. So let's bring people on to tell their stories and see how just unboring they are, and also teach you how to not tell a boring story ever again. And that's going to be me on this side of the mic, and I'm sure that you'll be a guest on there, and you'll be able to find that wherever you want. If you're listening, you can also find my website, alexstreet.ca, and get all the info there.
Because he's Canadian.
That's right. I get the CA privilege.
Well, it's been incredible chatting
with
you.
Badge of honor.
It really is. Like, yeah, own that Canadian, like with pride, honestly.
I'm all about it.
I love it. I love it so much. Thank you so much, Alex, for just sharing your time with us and helping me figure out my story. Hopefully others listening, this like encourages you to like, yeah, kind of like step back and think about your story and your why, because like Alex said, nobody has a boring story, and I just am so appreciative of you being here. So thank you, Alex. Damn. Honestly, Alex, you are absolutely just incredible. Like the first time I met you or even saw you like on a Zoom, I was like, I have to talk to this guy. And every conversation we've had is better than the last. I'm so grateful to know you and so grateful of like your knowledge, and just what you're doing for other people is absolutely incredible and so needed. And thank you for coming on and sharing just your time and your story with us, because I know it really resonated with me, and I hope it resonated with you guys listening as well. If you loved this episode, it would mean the world to me if you would share it, tag us, share it with a friend, let us know what your takeaways were from it. And I really, really appreciate you guys tuning in and can't wait to share more incredible, incredible stories and humans with you this season. That is all I have for today. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace.